We are in between and full of hope. We're in between the first coming of Christ at his birth in Bethlehem and the second coming of Christ when he will come on the clouds in glory. We're in between. And we are full of hope as we look back to see what happened as Jesus came into the world and he lived and he died and he rose again, filling us with hope of a new life and a resurrection. And we live in that expectation of what is to come, of Jesus' return, when all things will be set right. It seems like a dream, but it is actually our hope as we look ahead. It's not just living ahead and looking, but it also is an expectation. And we ask, how do we live in this in-between? Well, the prophet Isaiah, according to Scripture, says, walk in the light. That's the title of the message today, and it begins this season of Advent in the church calendar, which means preparing, getting ready. And so we do the looking back to celebrate what God has done, but also it's a time of spiritual repositioning, a kind of reorienting ourselves in light of what is to come. So do you know what's coming? You heard that in the kids' message. All right, let's try that again. I think we're getting this. Do you know who's coming? Jesus. That's right. Jesus is coming, God's Messiah. And the prophet suggests that a way of orienting towards that reality is to walk in the light. How many of you like Christmas lights? Yeah, me too. I love Christmas lights, at least inside. Inflatables, okay. Every year, Cheryl and I, we decorate our tree in the house. And I think the more lights, the better. And I like every color of light. I like red ones and green ones and blue ones and orange ones and yellow ones. It doesn't matter to me. The more, the merrier. All the color you can get on the tree, pack it in there, bright lights. Cheryl, she likes blue. So we had a string of blue and white lights on the tree for quite a few years now. And last year, I noticed that part of that string was out. And I'm thinking, oh, great opportunity to get some new lights. So when I was in Menards, I decided to walk through the Christmas tree light display. Have you ever been there? Pretty amazing. They have all these choices of lights, all the different colors, all the different multiple settings that you can put them on to flash or do whatever. And I was just... looking at all the options that I could do, multicolored lights, multi-setting options, I was dreaming about all those lights. So do you guess what color of lights I bought? Yep. 1,000 bright, blinking blue lights. What can I say? At least I'm going to be prepared when the tree goes up this year. Now, I don't think that you should all go out and buy Christmas lights, and that's not the point of this message of walking in the light. You don't need Christmas lights to be prepared, but we do need the light. For some reason this year, it seems to me like when the days got shorter and the nights came, it was really dark. I don't know if it just seemed like that to me or if that was maybe the reality, more clouds or less moon. I don't know. It just seemed super dark. And then, this week, what happened? It snowed, yeah. And something amazing happened. All the lights from the street lights and lights around shined on the snow and reflected it out, and everything, all of a sudden, became brighter. At night, went from dark, new snow, and brighter. I think that could be a modern-day metaphor or parable for what the prophet is encouraging here. It can get pretty spiritually dark in the in-between times. But when we intentionally reflect Christ's light out into the world, it's like off the snow. Everything around us gets a little brighter. So how do we do that? How do we reflect Christ's light? Well, Isaiah says, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. As a follower of Jesus, I think we're drawn to the light. I think even unbelievers are drawn to the light and hope that we have in Christ. Everything that's good and true and right and noble. We just want to see those things. It's inherently, it seems, in us. And in this season, it seems that all the focus on Christmas actually invites us to a deeper reflection on these questions about the season, what it means to be in the waiting. So let's ask these questions. First, what is the light of the Lord? Isaiah says, walk in the light. The prophet reminds the nation of Israel that they are God's people and they have a purpose in the world, and that is to reveal the one true God to the rest of the world. Their God is the light, and they're called as this nation to reflect that light out to those all around them, to the nations, like the light off the freshly fallen snow, to bring light in the world. So Isaiah shares his God-given vision to them in this second chapter. He says, this is what Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So his vision in the last days. What are the last days? Did you know that we're in the last days? That means that Jesus could come at any moment. We don't know when that will be, as Katie shared with the kids, but we do know he's coming. And the New Testament reveals that in those last days, it'll be the second coming of Christ. So Isaiah goes on, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Israel, as God's people, is the source of divine teaching. God revealed himself to Israel, and then they are to share that with the world. So God revealed himself, and through him, we have through Israel then the Old Testament of the Scriptures. Isaiah goes on, many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. So at the time when all this is fulfilled, the nations that are not Jewish, that are not part of God's right now, not part of God right now, will come to learn about God. They'll have a desire to seek God, and then they'll do something that is seems we don't see a lot of. That means they will obey what they hear. They'll obey what the Lord teaches. They will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and he will settle disputes of many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor they will train for war anymore. We're waiting for that time, aren't we? When there will be no more war. I think I view myself in some ways as a peacemaker, and oftentimes my prayers are about peace, reconciliation between people, between nations, between whatever, bringing God's peace. We're waiting. But one day, the judge will come, and he will settle all the disputes that the nations have against one another. All the disagreements that they face, all the things that cause wars will be at once settled. And as those judgments are made by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the nations will obey. They will accept those judgments, and they will resolve to live together with one another. And there will be no more need for war because there's no more conflict. And as that takes hold and as that takes root, there will be flourishing of all the nations. There will be lasting peace. So in light of what's coming, that sure and certain expectation of it, the prophet calls his people, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In a later chapter, he says, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, there's this connection between the light and walking in it. So this is a theme throughout Scripture. The psalmist in 107 says, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So darkness and gloom, it permeated those who reject God's word. So the psalmist continues, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And again in Psalm 36, for with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So again, we're drawn to the light. We're drawn to what's good and right and true and pure. We're drawn to the Lord because he is the light. So the light of God is reflecting in his people. And in that word and light, there's great attraction. People are drawn. Then the apostle prophesies what is coming. In those days of darkness in chapter 9, Isaiah says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In other words, just as like the light reflecting off the snow, it changed the whole atmosphere. So it is with Christ. This is quoted in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew as he begins his ministry. And Jesus reveals who he really is. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. So that is Jesus speaking. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you, as a believer in Jesus, you have that light within you. Christ resides through the Holy Spirit in you, and the light shines through you to the world around you. Jesus said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Say that one with me. You are the light of the world. Who? You, all of us who are believers, we are the light of the world. How can that be? Jesus is the light. But it is, he is, and he is in us. So now we carry that light. We are the light of the world. And Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be like a big snowbank. Reflect that light. Are you following God's purpose? Beginning with Israel, a chosen and called people to shine that light, and through Christ as followers to continue reflecting that light in a world around us. He said, shine your light. So the second question, now that we know what is the light, the second question is, how do we shine and walk in that light? What is that lifestyle or pattern that we need for walking in the light? So for the answer, we're going to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, and Paul picks up on Isaiah's theme, and he writes, for you were once darkness. When was that? Before we knew Christ, before we had that light in us, we were darkness. We were once not only in darkness, but we were darkness. And now, he says, you are the light in the Lord. So he says, live as children of light. And here's how we become like that bright new snow that reflects that light. I'm going to give you three practices this Advent season, three ways to reorient as we walk in the light, and they start with re. Say re. Re. So R-E, the first one, or they're resolve, renew, and respond. So let's say that. Resolve, renew, respond. So, you know, in preaching or teaching on how to preach, and I say you're supposed to have 3 points, and they're all supposed to start with the same letter so that we can remember them. It never works for me, but we can try it. Resolve, renew, respond. So resolve, what does that mean? Well, it means that it starts with our mind. It starts with how we think. It's this renewing of the mind that takes place. What we think about, what we reflect on. So as you're sitting here today, what are you thinking about? Fair question. You know, if you're like me, I have trouble focusing sometimes, and my mind wanders. I always used to say that when I was sitting under a preacher, he's a really good preacher, that I really never had any idea what he said, but I always had great time with the Lord while he was preaching. Maybe that's you. I hope that, whatever that is, that you are actually resolving to focus your mind on what is right and good and true. So we get a ton of exposure to things that really don't reflect the light of Christ. and reorienting, maybe just a resolve to change that, to shift that. You know, maybe shift the news feeds that we listen to over and over. Maybe shift what we listen to or who we're listening to. Maybe even how much we're listening to. Paying attention to what's going on in your mind, because what we're taking in is really what's going to come out. So I'm personally considering a one-day fast from my phone. No texts, no calls, no social media. And you might think, I'm not thinking that's a good idea. How is anybody going to get a hold of me? Well, it would actually require Cheryl to take my phone and relay the messages to me that I really need to have. Otherwise, you know, can it wait a day? Maybe. What would that be like to fast from my phone for a month? I actually want to try this out and just see how that reflects this idea of refocus. Here's the point in Philippians 4:8. He writes, after talking about things to stay away from, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Set your mind on those things. Focus on the light and not the darkness, so that the light can shine in and be reflected through you to the world around you. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think, meditate, ponder those things. You are the light of the world, and Christ lives in you, so let your light shine before others. So resolve to reorient to the light. And then the next step is to renew. So we reorient, and then we renew. Renewal is what takes place, or resolve and renew, takes place when the light moves from our mind to our heart. The apostle says, live as children of the light. We do this by understanding what the Lord's will is. Not only that we are the light of the world, that we're to reflect that, but then specifically, how are we to reflect that in the world? What is our individual unique purpose? Or as a church together, what is our call in reflecting that light? Romans 5:17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand. It's not like, I wish I knew the Lord's will. Or, you know, it'd be nice to know the Lord's will, but actually to know the Lord's will for your life, for this season, for this time. We can have that. We can know that, but it requires us to engage, not just with our mind, but with our heart, this desire to really dig in and follow the Lord. So it's going to require probably some prayer. Jesus, you know, he went away to a quiet place and often prayed alone before the Lord to pray. How is your prayer life? You know, I have a spiritual director that I go to. We just talk about things and spiritual things and process things. And he always asks me this question. How's your prayer life? And I say, well, you know, it's pretty good. Yeah, well, yeah, it could be better, I suppose. Well, then I think about it. How's your prayer life? It's hard. I'm going to say that again. It's hard. Really stop and reflect and dig in and wait on the Lord in prayer. Maybe renewal for many of us in this Advent season is just simply to commit to prayer. It's to sit quietly and meditate and listen and discern for the Lord's will. God, what are you showing me? Lord, where do you want me to reflect? I've had seasons in my life where prayer is flowing and easy and amazing. And I've also had seasons in the life when it's dry and hard and difficult. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't really feel like praying in those seasons. But I think oftentimes that's really when we're called to really get on our knees and dig in. Pray. What is the Lord's will? Begin to understand and know it, and then begin to practice it. And don't stop. Keep praying, keep discerning, keep discovering. This becomes a journey and an adventure of walking with the Lord as we begin to know and understand the Lord's will. So pray. I'm going to invite you at the end of this message to 30 days of prayer. And I hope you take me up on that to pray. So three practices for this Advent season: resolve, renew, and respond. The apostle finishes this section in Ephesians 5 saying this: be very careful then how you live. So we're putting this into practice. Not as unwise, but wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Did you know that we have opportunities all around us to reflect Christ's light? He says, make the most of every one of them. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the don'ts of Scripture. I like this passage because the emphasis is on the do's. Not just what to stay away from, but what does it mean to actually walk in the light, to be the light, to engage in God's purpose. It says, do be filled with the Holy Spirit. Encourage one another with singing and worship from the heart. Maybe worship is this rhythm of life that you need in this Advent season, a Sabbath rhythm that's purposeful, of coming and renewing and refocusing each week as you sit in the presence of the Lord and give your heart to God and reconnect with those around you. Maybe as you're resolving to walk in the light, it's just a new practice of Sabbath. You know, we get empty and spiritually dry. Scripture says we're leaky vessels, we're crackpots, meaning the water leaks out. Maybe being present in the worship service is what we need again to reorient. Maybe it's to give thanks for everything in the name of the Lord. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. I hope you had the opportunity to be grateful and thankful. In our family gathering, we went around the table at my mom's house and just shared, what are you thankful for? And somebody started out, family, and somebody said, yeah, family. Family, 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 family. And I thought, wow, how original. So I said, I'm thankful that you're all thankful for family. But that's great. It's just a simple reality of gratitude for those around us. Giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord. So I encourage you to wake up each morning and reorienting yourself to the light by simply saying, thank you, God, for this new day. And as you put your foot on the floor, say, Lord, help me to shine light into the world and be a blessing to someone today so they can praise you too. Maybe it's just tell someone you're grateful for them and then share why they are a blessing to you. So let us ask ourselves, where do I need to start this Advent season? Do I need to resolve simply to walk in the light of the Lord? Let it start right here. Do I need to renew a commitment to prayer or to worship? Do I need to respond in a regular rhythm of gratitude? We're in between, and we're full of hope. Christ has come, and he is coming. So friends, let us together walk in the light of the Lord. So let us pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you that you are bringing us into this season, that the church celebrates around the world, a rhythm of life and practice that recenters us upon the light, upon Jesus, and upon his coming. Lord, living in gratitude for all that we have received through Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. And also, Lord, looking forward with hope, this confident expectation of his return and all things being made new. Lord, it is because of that light, because of your hope, that we can walk through the difficult seasons of life. Not giving up in despair, but digging in, Lord, to understand what your will is. So I pray, Lord, that each one here today would know in this season your will for them. Lord, what it means specifically, uniquely, for each person here to shine their light into the world. Your light, Jesus, as you renew the face of the earth. If there's anyone here today or listening online that hasn't received that light into your heart, into your life, then I encourage you, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is where you resolve to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, as your Redeemer and Forgiver and Leader. If this is the step you want to take today, if you feel the Holy Spirit nudging and leading you to trust Jesus for the very first time, then I invite you to do that. Maybe simply with a prayer, echoing these words, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Shed your light into the darkness of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, show me what it means to walk in the light. Show me your purpose for me, that I may glorify you. And pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if that's you today, then again, we want to invite you to connect with someone, tell them that you have put your faith in Jesus, and we want to walk with you as you walk in the light. And for each one of us, may we continue to walk in the light as we stand and worship and sing in our closing song.